Blog Talk Radio.
News. News gives me the creeps.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Who you gonna call?
ADL.
ADL.
I can't hear you. Who you gonna call?
ADL.
Louder.
ADL.
Who you gonna call?
ADL.
Who can you call?
ADL.
Who you gonna call?
ADL.
Well, good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, Halloween Funtacular 2019. Oh, well, that my wingman has surprised me with the opening this evening, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, before we get onto the show, we've got a lot of great stuff, and happy Halloween to everybody out there. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Space Monster Milner. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are having a break for Halloween, a few decorations, maybe some music, and definitely some treats. Soldiers in the war for civilization need to relax now and again. And we are doing that for this show. Rest assured, our great listeners, that we never forget the real monsters prowling out there. The death cult of Islam and their toadies in government. And the fake stream media to their evil, we say, no surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. That was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me bring my wingman, my friend, my colleague, into the studio. Good evening, Dave. Wow, man, that was absolutely awesome. Thank you for the slides this evening and also for the great script for this evening. Dave surpassed things that I expected for this show. Dave, over to you, brother, and happy Halloween, brother. Yeah, Dave. Oh, I've got the thing about. Let's go.
There we are, and a happy Halloween to you, Jeff, and a happy Halloween to everybody in the UK, and a happy Halloween to everyone around the world, and of course, off Earth, where it can get really spooky. Yeah, well, Jeff, you know what? To quote the Underground Professor, hey, while everybody else is playing Monster Mash, I thought I'd do something a little bit different for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
I didn't know whether you'd love it or you'd hate it.
I know this, Dave. You spent a lot of time cutting and editing that. That was absolutely, I was rolling. I had to mute myself. I was laughing so much. Dave, thank you for that, brother.
That was fun. It was fun to do, Jeff. It was a lot of fun to do, yeah. You know, I mean, you got to have a little bit of fun for Halloween, and that's something that we want to get into. You know, I have a lot of Christian friends who say, I don't celebrate Halloween because that's a celebration for the night of the devil. Well, okay, let me just put it this way. This is my perspective, and Jeff, you can give yours afterwards, obviously, but, okay, to me, here's the deal. Satan is a punk, okay? Now, he's always out there working his evil. Yeah, we see this in politics today and everywhere like that. He's always out there working his evil. But in the end, when you stand up to him and you laugh at him and you make fun of him, he just shrivels away. That's how I see him. I see Satan as a very real danger, but I also see him as a punk, okay? And so in that vein, I don't mind there being a day when, you know, the kids can get dressed up in little costumes and go around various places and beg for candy. It's fun. And we can put it in perspective because we can fight Satan's evil all year round and we can have a little bit of fun and laugh at him and say, hey, man, You know, you're not only a punk, you're the biggest loser ever in history, because in the end, you are going to lose. So, yeah, I say happy Halloween to all, and a happy Halloween to you, Jeff. What do you think, brother?
Well said, Dave. Yeah, I mean, we have Satan all year round mocking good people in the world. Today, we, the EDL, which I really love what you're doing there, Dave, we're mocking Satan. Yeah, we mock him because that is what we do. You know, he mocks us all year round. And, yeah, type a bit of payback now and again, isn't it, Anna? I think that's what we do when we do these shows, Dave. Especially the Halloween show this evening. So, as you called him a punk, I just, you know, I just mock him. I just mock that thing. Let's not call it him. It's a him. Whatever. It's just pure evil. But we can mock. We can laugh and dance. We can dance with the devil, and we can get him in a wrestle hold, and we can bind him down. Can't we, Dave? You know? And that's what we do. He will definitely, the kingdom, what he thinks this is will fall by the wayside in a not too distant future. Of course, he's going to put a big battle up. We do know what happens in the end times, and it's going to be pretty brutal. We know that. But are we prepared? I think we are. Most of us who've had our eyes open, you know, we are prepared for whatever the outcome, because we know in the end that peace will reign and goodness of mankind will live on.
That it will.
Prevalent. That is why I tend to look at things. I'm an optimist, no matter how dark the news sometimes we hear and we come across. I do believe in we will overcome whatever is put before us, because that is our path. That is what we shall do. We shall over... No, sorry, Dad, didn't want to break in. I thought you said we had some fun tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
fun till the daddy brings a tea bird. Dave, I'm on my mic.
Very nice, Jeff. Well, you know, we also want to say, since this is Halloween, okay, black cats, all right, people, now, over here in the, you know, they're in the UK, you know, you guys are in full Halloween swing, and we're just about to get into it here in the United States. People are just about to get off work and whatnot and everything. And you know, the kids are, well, they're probably going out now. Certainly they are up here in the northern parts of the States, and they'll be doing the similar in the southern parts as the show goes on and as the evening goes on. And one of the things we wanted to remind people of this year is, okay, black cats are not magical. They're not evil. There's nothing supernatural about them. They're just cats. They're just cats with black fur. That's all they are. Okay, so don't hurt them for Halloween. Don't have any dumb stupid ritual that you don't know any damn thing about, just to give you an excuse to hurt a cat. And you know, look, if a black cat crosses your
path,
they're
all God's creatures. Cats,
they are,
dogs,
yes, they are.
All animals are God's creatures. Always bear that in mind. And don't forget, animals are what look to us. Don't forget, when they look towards us, they look up unconditional love. So please don't disrespect the animals. And I know we are animal-loving people, but we know there are certain people out there that we often talk about who just care nothing about animals. They don't care about fellow human beings. They definitely don't care about the animals, because you see the way how brutal that they do treat these animals. And it is heartbreaking, but unfortunately, evil does live in the world, and they are the people that do them things are pure evil. How anybody can hurt an innocent animal I don't know. I really don't understand the logic, the mentality of these people. But there you go. I know a lot of you listening to the show this evening are good-hearted people and animal lovers like myself, like Dave. Dave loves cats. He's always sending me videos of cats. He loves them. That and parrots. Dave loves cats and parrots, don't you, Dave?
Well, Charlie is our executive producer here, so yeah, naturally, Jeff. Yeah, naturally. But the thing also, guys, is if you see a black cat crossing your path, now it's a little bit different in the States than it is in the UK. In the States, it's considered bad luck if a black cat crosses your path. In the UK and other places, it's considered good luck. But really, all that's happening is the cat's going somewhere. Leave it alone, okay? Just leave it alone and have a good and fun and safe Halloween. And definitely, and I know, Jeff, you will agree with this, that definitely, guys, you know, you're out there, you've got your kids going out trick-or-treating and everything. Just make sure they're safe, okay? You know, because as we report throughout the year, there are just too many people out there ready to victimize kids. So, yeah, just be safe. As Jeff says, be vigilant. Am I right on that, Jeff?
Yeah, no, that's right, Dave. Sadly, I mean, in the UK, we do live these days, parents really are concerned with their children. As most people that listen to this show know, that we have issues with predators out there. If children are out any sort of a time, they could be in danger. It depends the areas you live, but as I say, I've looked around this evening, Dave, and it's really quiet where I live. It's you know, a few years ago, you used to all see. I mean, my next door neighbours, they do the whole thing. They dress up for it, you know. You will see outside. They just love it, you know. It's just what they like doing, but. Unfortunately, we do live in that time where the parents and your children, they don't, you know, the children to be out there, especially in the UK at this moment in time, unless they're with the parents. And as I said earlier, I've looked around this evening, it just seems so quiet around me. But one day, that sort of thing might, you know, get back some sort of normality where parents can go with the kids and, you know, and have a bit of fun, knock on a few people's doors, you know, trick and treat. You know, it's where it used to be. I remember it years ago. I mean, my kids always used to go out trick and treating. And then I used to get the complaints the following day for some people out there. They didn't like the egg that was thrown. They didn't like the treat. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your boy threw an egg at me. Well, what did you do? I told him to bugger off. Well, that's why he threw an egg at you. Would you think it was trick or treat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you don't give out the treats, you know, you get the tricks. That's it, man.
Yeah, yeah. Watch the egg go splat.
That's the way it works. Yeah, that's the way it works. Well, we've got a thing over here, Jeff. I gotta say, it's called, and I'm sure you guys have seen it in the UK. It's called "It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown." And when they go out trick or treating, Charlie Brown just gets a bag full of rocks. Nobody, they don't give him candy; they just give him a rock. And every time I see that thing, because I've got it on DVD, I make sure to play it on my Halloween. You know, I always say to the TV, yeah, if it were me getting a bag full of rocks, I know where those rocks would be going. You know, but that's just me. They're going to give me candy. They're going to give everybody else candy. Give me a rock here. Have it back. Yeah.
A bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm still sneezing. I've got the sneeze.
Bless you, man.
I normally say... Yeah, well, you keep sneezing, it's something to do with ghost spirit being around you. So I've got a couple of spirits around me.
Well, you better be careful, Jeff. You know, from what you're telling me, your mom might, you know, clout you one across the ear hole.
The spiritual slap around the ear. Oh, dear, that make me jump.
Yeah, it would. But I have a feeling, Jeff, I have to ask this, okay? It's a bit personal, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to on there. I have a feeling your mom kind of, at least tolerated Halloween if she didn't enjoy it. How was she on Halloween?
She's flying around a broomstick. No, she didn't. No, sorry, Mum.
Careful, man. Careful.
To be honest with you, I mean, you're going back many years. I'm not sure how we celebrated it back then. It was a long time ago. When I was, say, 15 or something, you're talking, oh, my goodness, mate. I don't know, though, if we really did celebrate. I'm sure we did in some ways, but I just can't reflect back to that time, you know, with my mum,
well,
what she felt about it or anything like that. I mean, I'd say my mum and my nan, I mean, I come from a church-going background. I mean, my nan
right,
was
yeah.
very, very religious. My mum wasn't. I mean, my mum wasn't as like my nan, but we still, when I was growing up, I had to go to Bible classes in the morning, and then my parents and I would have to go along for the church, the church service. So it was... We used to have to be dressed up. Sundays, if you look on sort of,
call
it Prairie, that's what we used to have to dress up. See, it was a special day, wasn't it? You know.
And don't mess up that suit of clothes, man. Don't mess up that suit of clothes.
That's your best clothes. Don't you bloody get them trousers. That's what my mum used to tell me.
Yeah.
And you always wanted to be out there with your mates, didn't you? But... you know, I thought, well, this is just traditional. All families at that time, you know, people did go to church quite a lot, you know. But, you know, that's the way it was. But I can't remember too much about Halloween back when I was when I was growing up. I do know that it's always been a height of events in the United States. I always remember that. But over here... it was just coming to light, you know what I'm saying? In early times back in winter. I mean, don't forget, horses still pulled carts about, Dave, when I was young.
Well, I was about to ask you.
The rag and bone man going down the road in his cart, lumber, and that was people to come out and bring out their bits and pieces, and he'd give you a bit of money for your tut, what it was called tut back in the time. But, yeah, but that was a long time ago now, mate. It was a long time ago. And back in the day, horses used to pull the milk floats about. Yeah, back in the early 50s, Dave.
But, you know, I have a feeling she would have enjoyed the day. Enjoyed the kids having fun just as long as you know, it didn't bring trouble back to the house there. But anyway, Jeff.
I should do enough of that without being Halloween at the
time. Yeah.
Someone knocking on my door complaining about me. He travelled all over my daffodils. I said he travelled all over. You have to tell me twice. I heard you the first time. Don't worry, get out of here. Will you be travelling? No, I didn't work. Yes, it was. I know it was you. I see the back of your shoes.
There you go. Well,
Dave, I was always up to mischief.
Well, in
that
a way,
that's kind of fun, though. You know, nothing serious. You know, knocked down Ginger. You know, poor old Ginger.
Right.
Everybody kept knocking him down all the time. When I say that, Dave, you might think, knocked down Ginger? What did Ginger ever do? No, it was a name used to call for knocking on people's doors and then running away.
Okay.
Our American friends know. It's not, no, knocking down poor old Ginger. No, it was what we used to call it.
We did the same thing, Jeff.
And we got rather adventurous, Dave. We used to tie a bit of string to the door handles, about three or four doors along, and then we used to knock one door and pull the string, and you used to have people would come to the door saying, "What the hell's looking for us?"
Nice.
Who's hiding laughing?
Nice. Now that's one we never did that I can think of. You know, that's one we never did over here. Now, if people wanted to get really nasty, and this wasn't necessarily something they did for Halloween, I mean, aside just from you know, literally smashing pumpkins. I'm not talking about the band. I'm talking about, like, you know, just smashing somebody's Halloween pumpkin that they'd have out. You know, their jack o' lantern.
That's pretty brutal, Dave. That's pretty brutal.
That's not as brutal as what I'm going to talk about. You know, what some kids would do, and I never did this. Thank you. But
no.
what some kids would do would be they would take a paper sack, all right, and they would fill it, you know, part of the way full of manure. Put it on the doorstep, and set it on fire, and then knock on the door and run away. So when they came out. They, nine times out of ten, when someone came out, they'd try and, like, you know, stomp the fire out, and guess what would come out? It's pretty nasty, man.
I wonder who thought that up. Dave, you're laughing
God,
too much there, but you just need to do this, Dave.
Hey, I never did, man. I never did. But I left when people came out, you know, so there's
But you
that,
knew
man.
All about it.
Of course, yeah. I had the knowledge.
I know.
I had the knowledge. Yeah, man. Don't
let
you
all your secrets out, Dave, because it knocks on your door.
I never tell anybody.
All these years, Dave.
I never tell anybody everything I know. But, no, you know, it's an interesting holiday. And for the most part, nowadays, though, like I said, it's just kids going from door to door begging for candy, you know, and adults having you know, like parties and stuff like that, not interesting costumes and stuff like that. You know, you name a superhero and kids are
oh, really?
Dressed up as that.
It's all about fancy dress, isn't it?
Though?
If you look at like,
well, that's what
okay.
you guys would call it.
Take
okay,
on
yeah.
more of a creepy aspect to it, but. Really, truthfully, it's just about fancy dress. Bit different, yeah. It's good.
Oh, yeah,
people like to do it. Kids like to do it. It's just what they like doing, dressing up and doing things like that, dressing up in skeleton gear Dracula and those sort of mm-hmm. things. It gives them, gives them something to occupy their minds, doesn't it? Good luck to the kids. And the adults, adults enjoy it, and our next door neighbours do. They really do. So, yeah, good.
Well, I hope the kids are out there having fun and being safe. You know, one of the best costumes I have to say I ever saw in my entire life was this was when I was living in Austin, Texas, years ago, man, 1990s. You know. It's Halloween. I get on the city bus, you know, and give the driver the money and go to sit down. And I notice his costume. And he had the most awesome, I guess you would call it prisoner costume. Now, Jeff, the way the prisoners used to look over here, and this mostly came out in the movies you'd see from here. You know, they'd have on striped. Shirt and pants, and this little striped cap on, and this guy had all that, and he had a little ball and chain.
Seemed like he just got out of prison, Dave.
Well, if it was in an old movie, yeah. But he even had a ball and chain. It was, you know, obviously, you know, I'm sure the ball was like, you know, what you would call polystyrene, you know, what we would call styrofoam or something, you know. But he had the ball. And chain hanging off the change box for the bus, so you really couldn't miss it. It was a great costume, man.
Well, he should have won a little. Must have been. It should have been a competition for the bus drivers, who could wear the best costume. Yeah, that would run it hands down, wouldn't it? Because that's so original, isn't it? I like it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Did you compliment him on it, Dave? Did you say, wow, brilliant? I know I would have done.
I'm not sure if I did. I don't think I did, but I should have, you know. But, yeah, that happens over here all the time, too, Jeff. Is, you know, the a lot of times it's usually very informal. You know, it'll be like adults at a Halloween party, and they'll give a little prize for whoever comes in the best costume. You know, and this, I know, Jeff, for a fact, has been going on since the middle of the 20th century, you know, since the early 1950s. Neighbors would get together every Halloween, the adult neighbors, and they'd have a party, and of course, yeah, you know, they'd give a little prize, if nothing else, bragging rights for the best costume.
A community spirit, isn't it? It's where you bring community. You get these lovely communities you live in where people like to do things together and have a bit of fun, put a bit of food out. You know, that's what it's all about. It's all about living's all about, isn't it, Dave? You know?
No, yeah, man. Living and loving life, brother. You know it, man.
Yeah, that's it. Live for the day and enjoy it, you know. Brilliant, you know. I mean, there must be a lot of people out there who've got memories of special, you know, Halloweens that they went to, that something stood out, someone's costume, you know, something like that. That is what it's all about, isn't it, really? It's just it's memories, isn't it? Memories.
I can remember two costumes that I had for Halloween, you know, and really only two. I bought a cheap pirate costume when I was growing up and, you know, doing Halloween at the office, you know, that was it. But as a kid, I had two costumes. I had a skeleton, of course, you know, that's a standard thing, you know. And one year I had a Dick Tracy costume. So there you go, man. I was working
cool,
the Dick Tracy swag,
that
right there.
Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
cool.
It does, yeah.
He had the comics back in the days as well, and he was on the radio and TV. Yeah, that was the days, Dave. Wow.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. But yeah, remember, this was the late 60s. So, yeah, Dick Tracy was still very much in evidence back then. So,
a lot of books, wasn't there? The author wrote a lot of books, which were very popular. Especially if you're banged up or something like that. It's Dick Tracy. Always, mate.
Isn't that kind of ironic, Jeff, though? And seriously, you know, I mean, isn't that kind of ironic? Sitting in a jail cell and you're reading about a detective putting people in jail, it's kind of ironic, isn't it, brother?
Maybe that's it. That's to make you help you serve your time. It makes you think. As you say, it's ironic, really, but I suppose, you know, they got a sense of humour. They got to have the authorities to do things like that, haven't they?
Certainly.
I don't know, not my own experience personally, but.
but of course, yeah. Understood, man. Understood. Well, you know, now, I don't know about you, Jeff, but I have certain favourite things that I like to look at and everything around Halloween. You know, sort of spooky stuff and things like that, and I'm kind of wondering if there aren't any really you know like movies, books, TV shows, and things like that that you like to look at around Halloween.
Oh my goodness me, Dave! You know, I've just got to flick around me channels that I've got. I guarantee. I mean, I've got to pick up a lot of American AMC and the American Sci-Fi. Guaranteed, it's 24-hour Halloween films, just one after another. It's not, you know, I'm not short for watching the films. Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4, the new edition, and so on. And the Freddy Krueger films and all that sort of thing, Dave. You know, do have the theme where it's Freddy Krueger stuff and pretty scared, actually. It still freaks me out when I watch those, Freddy Krueger type of films. It gets to your dreams and you get murdered in your dreams. I mean, come on, man. That's pretty a nightmare. Nightmare on Elm Street. That's what I'm trying to think of. Nightmare on Elm Street. But it's, wow. That's scary, isn't it? You go to sleep and you're hunted down in your dreams. But, but as I'm saying, I've got far to look, Dave. Guarantee this, you've got so many different channels that they just roll it all day long, don't they, you know? Like living in the UK now, it's very similar to like being in the States. Because to be honest with you, I probably watch more American stuff now than I do the British stuff. I don't know what's the BBC stuff and all that. You know, I prefer the American theme things. I can relate to it more than I can to what's actually been put out over here, all the propaganda and all that, Dave. So, that's just me. Probably there's a lot of people like me as well. We're just fed up with the old British stiff upper lip, don't you know, chaps? You know, don't need it all the time.
Jeff. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I've got a few to recommend for people, who over in the UK there who want a little bit of late night spookiness, or people in the States or anywhere else who are looking for a little bit of scary stuff for the evening, give you a little chill up your spine and whatnot. Now, this is for all you guys who have all the Netflix and Hulu and all this other stuff, you know. Titles you can look for. Okay. Now the first one is Dracula, but it has to be the one with the star Louis Jordan. Now this was put out over here. Now I don't know if this was an American production. It might have been a BBC production or an ITV, somebody like that. But it was the story of Dracula starring this guy, Louis Jordan. And it is super creepy. It's not, the old timey Dracula. This follows the books along.
Yeah.
And
not the Christopher Lee stuff. Yeah, no.
No, no. Although I like Christopher Lee. Of course, Christopher Lee
was pretty cool. He's pretty cool with that.
He was. But this one follows along the book, and it will give you the creeps really big time, man. So if you can find that, that's a good one. I got to tell you, Jeff, my all-time favorite most scary movie, and to this day I don't watch it all the way through because it does creep me out, and it's because I figured this out, man. Now, I had a girlfriend who was very intelligent, and I still think very fondly of her. She said of the main character in this movie, she said, "I don't like that movie because that main character seems too real." Now, we're talking about the original Halloween. Because you got Michael Myers,
the music
and
the jingle that's going on all the way through
music.
It as well, Dave.
That spooked you out
as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. I mean, brilliant music, and it just adds to the relentlessness of this creature.
It's brutal. We got to call it out what it is, Dave. It's total brutal from beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, now that's one. That's one to this day that I would not recommend that a kid see. You know, they need to be a little bit older when they see this. I mean, I was 18 years old when Halloween first came out, and it freaked me out. I did not sleep well that night after I saw that movie. But if you want something really scary, that's one that I highly recommend. And there's a couple of others, Jeff. One. You and I talked about this, some time ago, it's Aliens, the second Alien movie.
Oh,
all right?
Yeah, I've been watching that as well. Believe it or not, they've had a run of that as well, though. I think AMC or one of the American channels I watch. I love watching because, really, truthfully, they just play one into another. You know, you have the intermittent breaks as you do, like because it's commercialised.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
But it runs from one to another, which I like that way. I don't know if you like that, Dave. You know, you've seen Alien 1, you want to see Alien 2, and it runs from one into another. That's what you want to do, and they do the things. And I like that. You're probably the same as me. I just like that better. You know, if you want to watch two or three hours of gore and all that, that's our thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and
I think the one that spooked me out, and they banned it for many years over here. There's a couple of scenes in it, and they they didn't want to give it they give it a censorship that it was banned, and that was of course Dave, Zombie Flesh Eaters, the original Zombie Flesh Eaters. You know what I'm talking about, man.
I can imagine.
They didn't want to give it X certificate or whatever. It was so bad. But I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It scared me. Because every time they come to see where this woman was having her face pulled towards this bit of glass. I don't think you know the scene I'm talking about, Dave. But the thing about the scene, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be a bit graphic, is you actually see the shard of glass enter the eye, but they've done it in such a way. That was the realistic bit that freaked a lot of the censors out. That is the reason why they didn't want to give it, and that's why it was banned over here for so many years. But I was one of them people.
Wow.
I could manage to get hold of them copies, though. That was banned.
Well, yeah.
I had my ways and means, you know what I mean, mate?
hypothetically, of course, hypothetically. But, yeah, getting back to the Aliens, you know, the second Alien movie. Yeah, a lot of people might look at that as science fiction, but actually Alien and the second Alien movie it's a horror movie. It just happens to be set in space. It's a good one. I actually, Jeff, if you guys can run to it, get the director's cut, because the director's cut lasts like 2.5 hours. Okay, it's not what they released in the features. You get some good deleted scenes and everything in there, you know, that are infused into the movie. right at the start of the one I've got, the producer comes in and says, "Okay, guys, you know, this is not the theatrical release. It was thought back in the day that you couldn't make a movie too long, but hey, this is the ride we wanted you to take." And then it takes off, man. And, you know, from then on, it's, you know, like Marines, you know, blasting away at these nasty aliens with acid for blood. And it is just a nonstop fun, man. You got to love it, Jeff. You got to love it. And I'll give you another couple, brother.
Sometimes you just, some of us just like that. I mean, I was brought up on horror films. I mean, I used to go to bed. My father, he didn't read me a story out of a book. He used to tell me a ghost story. I'm sitting
there
and the covers up, scared out of life. I was brought up really quite strange, Dave. No wonder I like watching horror films like I've done over the years.
That's what a lot of Americans don't know. We had this talk before the show. I mean, the fairy tales, what we would call fairy tales over here in the United States, that they tell their children in the UK and Europe and places like that, are a lot nastier than the watered down ones that we got here in the United States. Yeah. Let me give you a couple other titles here.
Well, nursery rhymes come from actual, and there was, I remember it a while ago, they actually factual things, that a nursery's rhyme actually come from factual things. And when you heard of the actual factual thing that created the nursery rhyme, they used to go, wow, I'd have never believed that until it was told to us. And I think a lot of us back in the day, when we found out, it sort of, you looked at nursery rhymes in a totally different way after that, didn't you? It was just nursery rhymes, but then you realised there was something definitely behind it, and that was quite interesting when you find out that, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is. Now, let me give you a couple of other titles, because these are going to be kind of unexpected for some of you. But you should be able, I would think, to find them on some of these services and everything that are out there for these movies. This is a couple of TV movies that were made in the early 1970s. I think the first was made in 72, and the second was made in 73. And again, you know, I've got them on DVD just because I like this guy. The first one, and remember, guys, these are movies. It's not the TV series. The first one is called The Night Stalker. And this was a movie that was made by a producer of a popular occult soap opera over here called Dark Shadows. It was made by a guy named Dan Curtis. And there are several things I like about it. Now, number one, there's a lot of suspense in it. Number two, they did location shots. This movie takes place in Las Vegas, and there's like Las Vegas all over the place. This isn't some stupid Hollywood backlot or something like that. Okay, this is in Las Vegas. You know, so you get that realism going up in there. And then number three, and it is Darren McGavin. Okay, nobody else could play the part of the reporter Kolchak like Darren McGavin could. He had the voice, he had the swag, he had the way of getting it done. And yeah, there's some scary moments in it, man. It's something that's completely under the radar for some people, but it's a good, it is a good movie. And I also recommend the sequel to that, which is called The Night Strangler. Again, okay, they did location shots all over the place for that one. That one took place in Seattle. All right, and they had some great character actors in that one as well. Of course, Darren McGavin replaying Kolchak. They had character actors like Joanne Fluke, who was on Laugh-In. They had Wally Cox, who was in, you know, a bunch of stuff over in the 1960s here in the States. They had, Jeff, you're going to love this one. They had John Carradine in that movie, you know. This guy would act in anything. He didn't care. They had John Carradine in that movie. And to watch the movie today, you know, I just have to, you know, like roll laughing because, you know, John Carradine is, as you know, he's the actual, like, you know, owner of this paper that the reporter Carl Kolchak goes to in Seattle, you know, and they come in and Kolchak does, and Simon Oakland, who plays his editor, come in, and he's great too, by the way. Simon Oakland is. And, you know, John Carradine starts saying, "All right, now, you're not going to pull that same stuff you did in Las Vegas. This isn't Fun City. This is Seattle, where we're serious." And I think about all the crap going on in Seattle now. It's like, you got to be kidding me, man.
What goes on in Las Vegas doesn't go on in Seattle. Yeah.
Jeez, yeah. But what would go on in Seattle?
Las Vegas, isn't it? That's it.
Well, yeah. If you see Seattle these days, you want to stay in Las Vegas. I swear. But no, you know. Again, great, great
sad,
location shots.
It's sad reflection
it
of what
it
used to be. Used to be a great name,
is,
isn't it,
man?
Back in the day.
Oh, see, I mean, we're talking about 1973, Jeff. They had, again, they had lots of location shots.
Yeah.
They had the Space Needle. They even did some shots with them in the restaurant that's at the top of there. They had, you know, of course, you know, they had the Seattle monorail, which, you know, was a big deal back in those days. Man, you probably even heard about that in the UK. And they had, I learned about this from this movie. They had, now I don't know if they did actual location shots under there, but they had location shots at the basically the beginning part of it. There is a Seattle has another city under it, and I learned from somebody that lived near there. This is a fact. In 1889, there was a big fire in Seattle, and instead of doing what they've done in other cities, they did this, you know, okay, like, for instance, in London, when they had that fire in, I think it was 1666, well, they just knocked stuff down and built up new buildings,
it's
right?
Weird, that number as well. Think about it, those 1666.
I know. I know, man, yeah.
That's really
strange. Yeah, that's what they did in London. They just knocked the buildings down and put up new buildings. They didn't do that in Seattle.
Yeah.
They just built a new city on top of the old one. And you can actually take a tour, if you go to Seattle, of the underground city that's still there. It's probably full of freaks and dope heads and
really
all kinds of people now.
Dave, you know,
man.
You know?
Yeah.
I bet it's very haunted, I'd say that. If you talk about hauntings and that, I would say...
Oh, yeah.
With cities that's been built on top of cities, you know that there's some sort of things going on underneath your feet. Believe it or not. But back in the day, I mean, you talk
great
about
movies,
Seattle. I looked at Seattle back in the day as being an idealistic city. I used to look at it, they was forward looking. At the time, with the great big monuments, things like that, looking in, it looked the place that you'd like to visit, didn't it, Dave? You know, back in the day,
with your monorail,
things like that, it was definitely futuristic in their look. You know, they're looking forward that sort of thing. But I don't know what it's like now, Dave. You know, it's maybe a reflection of what it used to be. I mean, look at poor old London. Look what they've done to London, their politicians, mate. Unbelievable, mate.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, what it is today, I mean, you know, it's full of lefties and just, you know, again, horrible stuff going on. You've got, okay, put it this way. You've got two statues of Vladimir Lenin in Seattle now, and that's just not, you know,
it was in
the 1970s. No, it's not. You know, you've got those two statues of Lenin. You know, it's terrible. But you know, guys, we're going to talk of you know, we're going to make one more reference here about Halloween. You know, but
so I was wondering if before we move on to our next theme, that we should take a caller. As I say, he's probably want to call in about Halloween today.
Should we take this caller, Dave?
It'd be nice, wouldn't it, yeah?
Yeah, let's hope that caller has some Halloween fun for us and not something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go, then. I'm just, 3742, welcome to the EDL's Halloween Funtacular 2019. Welcome to the show, and go ahead. What you want to speak about? And happy Halloween, by the way.
Hey guys, you're putting a lot of pressure on me, expecting to come up with some kind of a good Halloween story. but you know, you mentioned Seattle, and it is like some kind of futuristic city in a futuristic dystopian movie. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Where you have it's like it's akin to 1930s, you know, fascism, like in Germany, except instead of the SS, you have Antifa.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Is that you, Brian?
Yeah.
Is that you, Brian?
That's me. Hey guys.
Hey, Brian.
Hi. I recognised your voice there. Good to hear you.
Welcome to the show, man.
What Dave was saying, and you, I can't believe that it's turned. I used to look back many years ago at Seattle and look at it in an idealistic way. It was looking towards the future, but you seem to, and Dave seem to think it's descended into, I don't know, Antifa, infested.
Brian said it best, Jeff. Brian said it best. It's become, okay, it used to be a forward-looking city of the future as advertised, and now, as Brian says, it's almost like a Clockwork Orange or, you know, Soylent Green at this point. Am I right, Brian?
Yeah, you could say the same. You know, it's even sadder. You could say the same for the whole state of California. I mean, look at the natural resources California has.
Oh.
Oil, the agriculture, the great weather, the beaches. I mean, it used to be paradise on earth. And,
the left,
you know,
ruin every place they go, man. They ruin every place.
They destroy everything they touch.
Yeah.
Single thing they touch. Mm-hmm. And the hatred is so strong with them that when they killed Baghdadi last weekend, you know, they couldn't say great job because they had that Trump derangement syndrome. So they were trying to minimize the importance of killing Baghdadi. And even at the Washington Post, call him an austere religious scholar.
Yeah, what a crock, man, what a crock. Well, Jeff, you know, Brian, get back to Cali, okay? This is how bad it's gotten, and we got this from, I got this from BZ, who runs BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon, which you guys can hear at 11 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He lives in California, okay? He lives in Northern California, and they've got all those fires out there now. Now, why do they have all those fires? Part of the reason they've got them is because the enviro wackos out there are so stupid that they say, oh, no, you can't cut away all of this old underbrush or anything because that would disturb the environment. That's where the bloody fires start, in that underbrush. And it's feet deep, man. I mean, it is so deep out there that almost anything can start a fire. And now, of course, they're paying for it. But are the lefties going to apologize? No. You know, hey, trick or treat. Here's your Halloween treat. We're going to burn your damn house down.
They're going to still blame it on Donald Trump, aren't they, Dave? They're still blaming it on Donald Trump, no matter what. You know, it's what they are. They got this derangement, as I think what you said, Dave or Brian.
Yeah,
that's
right.
But they have, haven't they? It's pure hatred, isn't it? Because he's draining
and they
hate him every breath they got.
They hate him.
Because
and there's so much projection.
He's treading on their playground, isn't
he? Right, man.
The left believes in democracy only when they're winning elections. Projects. They accuse everybody of what they're guilty of. So when
they
accuse, you know, Trump and the others of election fraud, it's because they commit election fraud. So, you know, they probably assume everybody else does. I mean, and the thing, too, is the hatred, which they will, I'm sure you get a lot of this, but they will, to their last breath, accuse people like yourself of hatred. But, you know, who's spewing hatred? Who's the one, which party is the one saying, you know, if you believe in anything less than open borders, than decriminalizing border crossings, than getting rid of ICE, that you're a racist? Which party says if you believe in anything less?
I agree. It's the Labour Party, as you know, Brian. Over there, it's the Demorats. I call them Demorats.
It's very similar.
If you want a Halloween tie-in, you know, I mean, it's Demon is not a bad word to use. They sexualize kids too. I mean,
Yeah, that's the kind of thing, Brian. You know, we talk about this all the time. You know, the pedophilia. Brian, I did a show. You may want to listen to. Go to Spreaker.com and search for the show, The Unpleasant Blind Guy Pedos, and you'll see in there that these people are trying to make pedophilia a civil right. So that means in essence, okay, that, and now you guys want something scary for Halloween. That means that in essence, if they get what they want, a pedophile babysitter could not be refused a job because they're a pedophile. There you
Correct.
Are.
Unbelievable.
Well, back to California. They have schools in California where
Dave
they teach it's preference.
Brian, I was going to say, I'm going to have to, I just realized the time, Dave, I'm going to have to call back in. Brian, would you like to hang with Dave for a little bit, if you're okay, and I'll be back at ASAP. Okay, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's fine with me, Jeff. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be right back.
All right, no problem. Jeff's going to call back in, but Yeah, Brian, you know, it's good to hear from you. you know, we just had a little bit of looking at a few fun stories and things like that for Halloween, talking about Halloween, you know, fun stuff and things like that, because frankly, the news from the UK, the news from the States, we kind of need a break from it. That's kind of what this show is about. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and the thing too is there are a lot of good things happening. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of positives happening, and I believe everything's setting up for a Trump landslide in 2020. I think the thing that a lot of people, even people that support Trump and hate what the establishment's been doing, don't understand is that, you know, Trump support is greatly underrepresented on purpose by the establishment media, which does not have, and the establishment in general, which does not have the same kind of power and reach that they used to have. And when he gets reelected, it's going to prove once and for all that the establishment doesn't have the power it used to have. And so the problem is getting people to understand that, you know, we're winning. You know, just because have this reach, it doesn't mean that they're making converts. People are leaving the Democratic Party in droves. When Trump does speeches, they get 20, 30, 40% of the audience are registered Democrats.
Just look at the walk away.
Republican Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just look at the new, just look at the walk away stuff on Twitter, Brian. And I'll tell you this. In fact, I'll tell you and Jeff this. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, Brian, you may be too young to remember this. I don't know, but you know, I'm old enough to remember it. This was something that right around 1980, it's what President Reagan called the silent majority, and that is building up out there now. Okay, that's the good news because and it's building up in the UK too. Everything that the Labour Party is doing in the UK, everything the Democrats are doing in the United States, makes them look horrible. Okay,
yes.
They're not winning over hearts and minds, and they don't seem to understand this and don't seem to care. But I can guarantee when it comes to election, they are going to cheat like nobody's business.
They'll try. But
the
great thing now that's happening is it's not anymore just left versus right. It's common sense. Mm-hmm. You know, versus literally the destruction of civilization. So, you know, you don't have to be a hardcore conservative Republican to support Trump. You just have to be somebody that, like, supports common sense and can see that the Democratic Party is literally effing insane.
And they are, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Dave, Brian, made a really good point because that is it. They are. It's totally... They're right off the wall, aren't they? I mean, they've gone from as far left as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
And it just makes myself look a laughing stock. Just like our Labour Party with Jeremy Corbyn. You know what I mean? They're laughing stocks now. Where they used to be back in the time, respected, back in, you know, I'm talking about when I was a kid, basically. They was respected, the opposition or the main party. They're not respected anymore because people like common sense and they don't offer them nothing like that. They just offer them some utopian sort of left-wing, crazy world to live in. And no one wants that.
No.
Everybody wants to get on with their lives. Live their lives in a normal way without all this bull that they put across as they try to... promote themselves, and all they're doing is doing a bad job. All of them.
Well, over here in the States, guys, you know, and Brian, I'm sure you've heard this phrase before. Over here in the States, they used to call them Kennedy Democrats. These were the blue collar people, you know, working people, and figured that the Democrats are for the poor and all that stuff, but they've taken the masks off now, and they're just like the Labour Party. They're for this pedophilia and the blurring of the sexes, and you can't call a tranny a dude, or you'll get fined, and they're for killing babies after they're born and stuff like that. All this insane crap, and they're not doing themselves a good service. I won't say at this point.
They're not doing the
Trump
human race any good things either.
When
you speak about
young
babies, like they're speaking about them, you know, is that they're not in a life that they can, when a baby's born, they can abort it even when it's born. I mean, come on, that is just, infanticide,
Jeff. Yeah, it's infanticide. And I can't say that Trump's going to win by a landslide on this, but right now it's looking pretty good for him and it's looking pretty bad for them. So, yeah, Brian, you're right, man. You know, we're definitely trying to get into some fun stuff and things like that today. And you're right. There is some good news there. There is some good news.
Well, I'm sorry to take it so serious, but, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, Hillary Clinton or, you know, Obama should, you know, because of where the party's at, they should just want them to just dress up as Hannibal Lecter for Halloween.
Well, why not? You know, why not?
Party of
I mean, I'm there. Well, I'm surprised they don't have, you know, I'm just surprised that they don't have, like, you know, Hillary Clinton costumes now, you know, just like they used to have. They used to have Nixon costumes, you know, they used to have Richard Nixon costumes, you know, but
Jeremy Corbyn, I mean, you could just look at a normal scarecrow. And that could be the costume for Jeremy Corbyn, couldn't it?
There you go. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, that's not putting our tracks there. But, Brian, what's going on? You brought a lot of great things into the chat, into the studio this evening. as I say,
we are
celebrating Halloween, having a bit of fun. Dave cracked me up at the beginning. You get a chance of listening to this show at the beginning, Brian. Listen to it. Dave put something out there, and it was absolutely brilliant. And I had to mute myself because I was laughing so much. It was really good. But always good to have you here, Brian. I hope you're keeping well, my friend.
I'm doing well. You know, we live in very interesting times, but again, good things are happening. And don't underestimate the ability of the Democrats to destroy themselves, and don't underestimate just how well thought out everything Trump is doing is. It's not just one man on an island surrounded by, you know, a bunch of Brutuses. You know, it's a well-coordinated, crafted plan. He's got the backing of the military and a lot of other people around him that are trying to do the right thing. It's not just him. And that's why, you know, I've come to understand over the past couple of years, it's a very well-coordinated plan. He was recruited by the military, which is why he's still alive.
I heard that as well, Brian. I heard that.
And
he was called upon because the country needed someone just like Donald Trump. And but me and Dave, we had a little debate going on. Dave, he was very much a Ted Cruz, which I like Ted Cruz, but we was on opposing sides at the time, wasn't we, Dave? I wasn't that fun. Me and Dave, it was really, really interesting. Me and Dave was debating about different things with Donald Trump's bringing his business-like mind to the table and be able to do deals. And Dave was doing, you know, about Ted Cruz, about all his experience. It was just great, wasn't it, Dave, what we did that day?
Yeah, that was called reasonable debate, and you can't have one of those anymore. But, Brian, it's been really great having you call. And, you know, don't hesitate to call again because you always bring good stuff in. And, you know, God bless you, and have a happy Halloween, my brother.
Well, hey, you guys do well. Maybe next time we can talk about all the China panda huggers. That'd be a good time.
There you go. All right, man.
Yeah, call in any time, Brian. As I say, you always were a welcoming call to this show. I always know when I hear that they're going to talk about some really interesting things. So once again, thank you, Brian, for what you brought to the table this evening. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. God bless, man. Bye-bye now. All right, Jeff. Yeah, Brian is always a good caller, man. And, you know, I got to...
Yeah.
Well, let's shift into one other little thing we got up in here, okay? One other thing we got in here is, did you guys know, and I like to put this out every Halloween, did you guys know that Islam was responsible for Dracula? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Vlad the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler is who I'm talking about here. Now, Vlad Tepes, or Vlad Tepes, excuse me, was a ruler in what we would call today Romania, okay? But that was actually, it was called Wallachia back in the day. Now, I say that Islam is responsible for Dracula because, as we know, Dracula, it's more or less accepted that Dracula, the fictional character, was based on Vlad Tepes, who did a lot of torturing people to death and everything like that. Now, part of the reason for this, in my opinion, was because he was given in barter as a hostage, him and his older brother were, when he was 11 years old, okay, to an Ottoman sultan, okay? And he stayed this individual's hostage from the time he was 11 until the time he was 16. And you notice that the biggest thing that he liked to do, the thing that he liked to do the most, was to impale people with a long wooden pole. He would either impale them just by sticking it through their stomachs, or his favorite thing to do, and you might want to cover your kids' ears for this one, guys, because this is pretty nasty. His favorite thing to do was to stand them up, take the pole, and ram it up their backside, and then stand them up that way. And it would take them days to die as the pole worked its way up, as the greased pole worked its way up. And I always figured, and I think it's good to assume this, since we know what Mohammedans love to do with boys, all right, that this was the ultimate in that. So, yeah, there you go. If you want to know who was responsible for the evils that Vlad Tepes perpetrated on not only his enemies but on his own people, you can lay that right at the feet of Islam, okay? Now,
yeah,
Jeff,
that's a true story, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
you've only got to check it out yourself, but it's true.
Do the research.
So it just goes to show you where it came from and why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they feared, Vlad Tepes. They didn't. They invaded once. They didn't want to do it no more because anyone was captured, they ended up on their big spikes and that. And that,
mm-hmm.
was put on a hill. It was on a hill that was they. So that if they were coming in into the shore,
mm-hmm.
they could see on the spikes their Muslim brothers, and that they turned the boats around a lot of times. So
there you go. Yeah,
I'd like to let you know we have got another caller calling in.
All right.
And I'm sure this is a different caller. Because as I say, it's Halloween, and a lot of people want to have a little chat on Halloween. So we've got much time at the show, but we'll bring this gentleman or lady on to have a chat
about
some of the stuff we've been discussing today. So anyway, with that, let me bring in, caller 4500. You're live on the English Defensive Radio Show Halloween Funtacular 2019. What would you like to talk about? Some of the issues we've been, or some of the things we've been talking about, Stephen? Go ahead. You're live.
Well, I know Halloween's tonight. I don't know what day it is over there in the England. You know, y'all fancy. You got your little island. So I don't know what's going on over there. I'll tell you what's going to happen right here tonight in my trailer park. In Mississippi, we like Halloween. We do. And we do some funny stuff. And I just heard some stuff about putting somebody on a stick. Now, I ain't had a slave since 1996. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not prejudiced.
Bye-bye. All right. And there you go. That, guys, was a Halloween trick, okay? But you get the treat because we got rid of him. All right. Yeah, he took care of that business. Now, Jeff, we've got a few stories, but I definitely wanted you to have this one. You can read a bit of this one if you'd like. I don't really believe it's that long a story, to be honest, man. Let me see. Okay. Here you go, man. I think you're going to like this one. I've been saving this one for you, brother. I've been saving it. It's from the 15th of
September. Have you just posted it to me?
I'm going to do it right now, Jeff. I'm going to do it right now.
Okay,
it's from the 15th of September. All right? And I'm going to post this to you right now in the Skype. Right there you go. And if you'd like to read that one or at least part of it for the people, you know, that would be a groove, I think, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me,
yeah. Jeff's going to
get
just the story ready
up.
Go.
Okay. This, thank you, Dave. Okay, what you like. And this comes from the main online. And it says, the 95-pound class that teaches you how to pick up spider using glass and a piece of paper. Thank you, Dave. Zoo teaches arachnophobes how to live alongside eight-legged beasts that invade home. Thank you, Dave. Zoo gardens are offering the classes which involve a range of techniques. Students can get up close and personal with the zoo spiders. Yeah, right. If brave enough, arachnophobe Camilla learns how to catch and release a spider in the class. Oh, wow. Just bear with me while I go down the story. Milner, what you like.
Nice pretty pictures in it. It's got a lot of nice pretty pictures in it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go down Right, a zoo is offering living with spiders classes for £95 to help people overcome their arachnophobia. The 4.5-hour course involves a range of techniques, including the chance to get up and close and personal with the zoo spiders. If students are feeling brave enough, well, that's not me. Footage of the lessons run by Bristol Zoo Garden shows the attendees gathered around a spider made out of stones and sticks. Made out of stones and sticks, okay.
There you go.
I'm going down. Oh, well, there's people laying down in this as well. It then goes on to show a woman pick up a spider with a glass and a piece of paper as the glass are pulled. Well, I do that myself, Dave. I do that, actually. I'm brave enough to do that. Hypnotherapy section of the meeting, led by hypnotherapist Greg Nijedli, has students lying on the floor with pillows and blankets in a darker room. Oh, my God. Anyway, in a video posted to the zoo's YouTube channel, arachnophobe Camilla says she is so scared of spiders she has to check the toilet roll. to make sure there's none inside. As a way to overcome her fear, she attends the session at the Zoo's Conservation Education Centre, which costs £85.50 for members. There you go. What? That's not much, is it, Dave? It goes on to say, Mr. Jedley can be seen presenting. He tells the group, we're going to talk about spiders. You're going to find out things about spiders you never knew about. It's about dispelling myths, but it's about tapping into them, into the mind. A member of the zoo's team then goes on to explain how spiders move around by using the sensitivity of the body and can't actually see people, as many people believe. During the hypnotherapy session, a voice can be heard saying, and I would like you now to imagine yourself in a wonderfully calm, enjoyable experience. Camilla then faces her fear head on by trapping a spider in a glass using a piece of paper before holding it on her hand. She says, it's been a few days since the session and I never thought I'd be able to catch and release a spider on my own. But now I know I can. There's a big round of applause in the distance. People took to the social media to share their thoughts on the unconventional approach. Lila Hale said, I looked at the picture. My first thought was that they released the spiders in the room whilst you lay there on the flipping floor. Dave Dahl said, oh, but each one has a rolled up newspaper or a shoe under their blankets. Claire Blackley once convinced, she said, thank you, but no, it will be my worst nightmare. Let me see. Dave, you had to bring this one into the room this evening, didn't you? What you like. Vicky Smith, on the other hand, said she attended the course and it helped her to overcome her fear. She said, I went to this with my sister as we both dreaded September spider time. They do there's big ones around September. She added,
yeah,
we both deal with them so much better than before. It's good class for anyone who has September dread. I can't see why they charge so much money. Anyway, it goes on to say, research in 2015 claimed that a fear of spiders is a survival trait written into our DNA. I had a feeling it was something to do with that, because I've got a fear that dates back probably before I was even born. Dating back hundreds of thousands of years, the instincts to avoid arachnids developed as an evolutionary response to a dangerous threat. The academics suggested it could mean that arachnophobia, one of the most crippling of phobias, represents a finely tuned survival instinct. Do you know what, Dave? They're not wrong. I do believe that.
Built
into me. I've always had that fear. It could be, it could date back, you say, it could be a time that a life many, many thousands of years ago, I might have been eaten by a giant spider. You don't know, Dave. You do not know. And it could date back to early human evolution in Africa, where spiders with very strong venom have existed millions of years ago. Wow. Study leader Joshua New of Columbia University in New York said a number of spider species with potent vertebrate-specific venoms populated Africa long before hominoids and have coexisted there for tens of that's amazing, Dave, isn't it? Tens of millions of years. Humans were a perennial, unpredictable, and significant risk of encountering highly venomous spiders in their ancestral environments. I think we'll probably leave it at that, Dave, because I'm going to go to bed with bloody nightmares. That's my phobia tonight. But,
Jeff,
Dave, I ain't got time today, but what my mum done to me, that was a cruel trick she played. Jeff, go and look in the toilet and pull that light out. Don't see me working. Okay, Mum. There I walked into the toilet, pulled the cord. It was a cord in them days. I pulled the cord. I felt something fluffy. I put my hand in my pocket, like you would do. And then my mum said, Jeff, did you see it? Did you see that spider? I went, what? And I just thought of what I just did. And I dropped my trousers in front of my mother. I was 14 years old. And this dirty, great big spider walks out of my trouser pocket. Well, I run down the road without my trousers on, basically. But anyway, we are down the last few minutes. And once again, it's gone so quick, the show day. But just let the listeners know where they can find you during the week, where you can find you and your spiders, your arachnophobe friends.
Well, Jeff, I don't know if we're going to have time to do Percy. I know you wanted to do it, but I'll tell people real quickly just in case. Please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, and I can also be heard at the SHR Media page at the SHR Media YouTube page and on the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, and that's 6 p.m. in the UK, and midnight Saturday, and that's 5 a.m. in the UK. Please give that a listen. So, you know, oftentimes it's a little manageable, 30-ish minute bites of this show, and sometimes it's, new Unpleasant Blind Guy shows. There's stuff coming up, guys, so please check that out. And I want to just say to the foot soldiers, angels, the yellow vesters that are still out there, the Hong Kong Patriots, everybody
and the
who believes in.
And
the arachnophobes out there, everybody who believes in freedom and liberty and standing up for it, please, be prosperous, be blessed. And all the spiders say, no surrender ever. Back to you, my friend.
No surrender to
Happy
the
Halloween.
Spiders ever. Ever. Thank you, Dave. What's a guy. I'm going to have nightmares. But there were some interesting things in that article. Because I always thought it was something a bit more embedded in me with my arachnophobe. And now I know it's something that they talked about. It could be thousands of years, maybe even longer than that. And that arachnophobes have been around probably... Dave, have they been around longer than human beings? Arachnophobes? Arachnids?
Well, since human arachnids have, yes. According to evolution, yes.
Wow. What must they have looked like back in the day, though, right? Maybe that's why we got such a fear of them. But anyway, that's for another show. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll expand on it on another show, Dave, right? That article was really... my ears pricked up when I realised that all this arachnophobe thing that I've got is feasible, a fear of spiders. So, anyway, Dave, once again, thank you for this absolutely brilliant show tonight. And what you did at the beginning, classic, brilliant. Thank you so much, Dave. And for the slides, and for the script itself, once again, I salute you, brother. Well done, Dave. Thank you very much. And everybody... Brian that called in, great call, Brian. I hope you call back again in the near future because you're always great. And all our listeners out there, foot soldiers, everybody, you have a have a great Halloween. I say in the United States, it's still early in the evening. So have a great Halloween, and we'll see you this Sunday. So anyway. We got to go underground, don't we? So with that, God bless you guys. We'll see you again this Sunday. Cheers, Dave. Thank you, guys. See you soon. There you go. there you go. As I say, we'll be back again this Sunday with another show. It's been an awesome night tonight. Absolutely brilliant. I've enjoyed it. Great things we've been discussing tonight. And trust Dave. Thank you, Dave, for that story about spider lessons, arachnophobe lessons. But we'll be back again this Sunday. So anyway, we'll see you then. So let's just do this. Right. this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. But don't worry, guys. We'll be back again this Sunday. No surrender. Just be vigilant out there as well. And see you soon, guys. God bless you. No surrender.